You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702. Series Edition.
It's 8 minutes past two. After we had the looting a couple of weeks ago, last month, in fact, we had a week where we had some reflections on what happened and, of course, where we find ourselves and potentially the sort of things we can start to do so that it's no longer business as usual, so that we can really start chipping away at the issues that may have led or contributed, I should say, to the scenes that we saw of unrest and looting in the country. Many small businesses were affected. Our economy is hobbling at the moment. And so what do small businesses need to do? What do the ecosystems around small businesses need to look like? And so we bring you this series for the month of August, a series on small businesses and the sorts of questions we need to start asking, hopefully to steer us, to begin to steer us in the right direction. We join Luyanda Jafta, a previous guest on this show, and he is the co-founder and CEO of the People's Fund. Hi, Luyanda.
Azania, we finally did it. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. What a lot of people don't know is that after we had our last conversation, we actually kept on chatting. And we had the post-interview conversation. There were just so many interesting things that I thought are worth unpacking on the show itself, and that gave birth to the series. So I'm really excited that you've agreed to do this.
Thanks for having me, Azania. I think you and I are a year delayed in this conversation.
Yeah.
Not just from the last interview, from the last interaction we had.
You people with elephant memories. So we're kicking things off by looking at tenders, right? And how in South Africa over time, we have framed people who run businesses that operate on tenders as tenderpreneurs. And this is in a way where your business comes in as the People's Fund. You play quite a role in relation to those that go up for tenders. Just explain that relationship before we get into tenderpreneurs.
Sure. So from the People's Fund, what we do is if you've got a contract or a tender or a purchase order with a corporate or government, what we do is we provide the capital. So you've got the order to deliver and your client says they'll pay you in 30, 60, 90 days from the time you deliver. So you don't have the upfront capital to execute on the order. We come in as the People's Fund. So we crowdfund that capital from everyday people. We take that money, put it into your order. So we buy the goods from the supplier, get them delivered, get your delivery notes done, get your invoicing going. And then when your client pays you, what we do is we share in the profits, right? Mm-hmm. So we come in as partner and we share between, most of the time we charge 6%, but depending on the risk, we take 6 to 12% of the value of the order.
Right. Maybe we'll come back to the how it helps small businesses survive while we unpack the series over the coming weeks. Do you think that the tender system is a positive thing for small businesses and the growth of small businesses?
150%. One of the people I observe quite diligently is somebody called Kandani Msibi of 360 Life. And one of the things that I like that he says is that it's not innovation unless it's touching on regulation, you know? And there's no class of people that get built without a government. Developmentally, you need the government in place to build a class of people. So I'm going to do a small history lesson, you know. Mm-hmm. When the Afrikaners took power from the English in the early 20th century, one of the things that the government did deliberately was create opportunities for the Afrikaners so that they could be participants in the economy, you know. Mm-hmm. Most of the organizations we see now are an effect of that, you know. Mm-hmm. In deliberate action to support the people to get their footing and develop into the gigantic businesses we see now, you know, either whether it be the consortiums for agriculture, whether it be insurance companies, whether it be financial institutions, you know, APSA is actually an amalgamation of a bunch of those institutions that started as things that look a lot like Stockfels. You know, I think Suntime is another one of them, right? So there was a deliberate hand by government through regulation and support to ensure that when they were catering for just the Afrikaans nation, to ensure that they thrived, you know, and it was a long-term outlook on that. So if to answer the question simply, absolutely, tendering is an important part. And, you know, the problem is that word doesn't mean the same thing, you know. Small businesses are the answer, but we're asking the wrong questions, you know, like we titled the series. And so I absolutely agree that small businesses are the answer, you know. I'll stop there for that answer.
You're right. Okay. But now it's also been attached and associated, or has negative associations attached to it. You know, because in our society, we think our tenderpreneurs are the reason why water system is not as it should be, or is not functioning and providing that resource to that community.
Sure. Azania, I'm going to do what I do usually when we do the podcasts, right, that are off air. And I'm going to ask you some questions that I'm going to ask you to answer honestly. When I say tenderpreneur, what kind of person do you think about?
New money, flashy lifestyle, big car, big house, close to politicians. Yeah.
And what's typically their race?
Likely male, black.
Cool. What percentage of people who win contracts from government do you think are male, black?
Very small.
Right? Very small percentage, right?
Yeah.
So it's weird that we call it tenderpreneurs and we get this image of young black men who are flashy. So if you, for example, pulled up a stat, right, less than 10% of tenders that are given to businesses in South Africa go to black-owned businesses, right? From a South African perspective. If you look at the SARS stats, right, less than 10,000 businesses have a turnover of 100 million and more in South Africa, you know, from a VAT perspective, right? Most businesses, when I say less than 10,000, some people might say that's a lot of businesses. It's not, when you consider that we're registering 200,000 businesses a month in South Africa. We've got many, many millions of businesses, right, in the country. But only a small percentage are actually the big, gigantic businesses that exist in South Africa. So the problem is when we tell stories or how we as humans think of stories is that we all think of ourselves as very rational, but we're actually very emotional. And this is how the stories get told. I think you and I once joked about an article that was doing the rounds last year. And the article read 7 billion. That's how much government owes businesses. Then when you dig into the article, right, it says these are invoices that are overdue, meaning they haven't been paid in 30 days or more. Right. And that's all of the invoices. Right. It's not just 1 year. It's all of the invoices. Right. When you stop and think about that for a second. Right. Government spends almost $1 trillion a year. Right. On businesses. Right. Procuring from businesses. Right. So for the listeners to just give context to that number.
Yeah.
That's 1,000 billion. Right. So 1% of that would be 10 billion. So of that trillion, government is late on payment on less than 1%. Right. But because of how we read stories, that immediately says government doesn't pay. You owe the small businesses 7 billion. In no way am I saying we shouldn't hold them accountable. But I'd say show me a corporate who's got a similar kind of payment record where they have less than 1% of the invoices they owe paid within 30 days. So that would be the question, for lack of a better way of putting it. And then we can start framing the question properly, you know?
Yes, yes. And so that also inadvertently tells us who tenderpreneurs are.
I mean, if you know, like, let's speak facts. Oftentimes when we think of efficiently run businesses, well-run businesses, we don't think young black businesses, right? And if we assume we are right in that thinking, right? Why would efficiently run businesses be holding 90% of the tenders from government mm-hmm. if government is an inefficient system that doesn't pay? We wouldn't have the JSE if government was an efficient payer, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it. And in no way am I trying to paint them as perfect. I just think that the PR they've gotten has put people in a position where we work on sentimentalism and not the facts. The facts are government is one of the most efficient payers in the country. They've got their problems. But if they were to be compared with the corporates, most corporates, they are one of the most efficient payers in the country.
We're getting some calls, of course, because as you know, this tender system can be debated all day long. You know, as you've just talked about, the power of the narrative as well, or the stories that we've told ourselves as South Africans about tenderpreneurs and the tender system, and often how they can maybe skew the picture. Chet is calling us from Foyes. Hi, Chet.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, welcome.
Good. Great series, and thank you for taking this topic up. I think it's an extremely relevant topic, specifically where we find our economy. My viewpoint is slightly different, and I'm keen to learn. Let me put it that way. I work for an organization. We specifically don't or choose not to engage with government and it's, you know, and be a government supplier purely because we face challenges around our BEE level as an organization.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit earlier on, your guest alluded to less than or around 10% of government suppliers or contracts are awarded to black-owned businesses. I'm just keen to learn, maybe it's more so the dialogue, but how is that possible? Because today, one isn't able to engage or do work for the government. God. Unless you're of a certain BEE level, which by its nature indicates a level of black ownership.
All right. Chet, thank you. Thanks for, it allows us to drill a little bit further.
Beautiful question.
Mm-hmm. Leander?
That's a beautiful question. That's actually an amazing question. So, Chet, I love your question because actually it also speaks to a wrong narrative that's painted, you know. It is quite possible to achieve a level one BEE status without particularly being black owned,
mm-hmm.
and this is what we mean by the narrative is funny. So let me give a quick example, right? Just a quick example. That's a funny story. So when we interview our independent non-executive directors, we often ask the question: you've got. Our objective is to solve the income inequality across the races as well, because in South Africa, they're skewed that way. And then you've got two businesses. One of them is black owned. One of them is white owned. They're selling the same product, same price. The black owned one imports their goods from China. The white owned one manufactures in South Africa. Who are you buying from for maximum impact, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no right or wrong answer, you know, for that objective, right? I lean more to I'll buy from the white company because those rands trickle into the South African economy for more effect in the South African economy,
yes.
So that we can change things, right? I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. And one of the things that can be taken advantage of by particularly a white-owned company, is to ensure that your service providers, mm-hmm. your employees, your management, and mm-hmm. the various levels of your company are transformed so that you can actually participate in those tenders, as you'd say, right? Because now you've transformed how your company looks. And one of the things to also be careful of is I'm going to call it loosely, a bunch of tactics people use because the measurement system, I think, is quite flawed. Let me give you a quick example. The People's Fund, we fund 51% black-owned companies. We're 80% black-owned. 90% of our management, when I say management, I mean directors, almost all of them except one is black. All of our management, senior execs are black. Every single employee is black. We've got 50% women workforce. On the BEE tax codes, on the first assessment we did to evaluate where we are, we didn't qualify to be a level 1, 2, 3, 4 5 or 6 BEE because we had to change certain things. And you know why? Because primarily where we were buying from mm-hmm. was white-owned mm-hmm. companies. Mm-hmm. You know, so the measurement system is broken, you know. So that needs to be fixed, but that's a different discussion altogether. So to answer Chet's question is it's quite easy to be a non-white, a black-owned company, but supply into government because your BEE level is quite high.
Right. Yes. As you say, the weighting system, the matrix that they use, and some of the things that you can do in the course of operating that can improve on that rating. You are of the firm view that we need to get more people to tender.
Yeah.
What... I guess let's go back to the narrative itself and how problematized tenders have been made to be. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. some might think, oh, this just opens up to even more problems if more people are dependent on or are tendering for government business. Mm.
No, it doesn't. It actually makes corruption much harder. Mm-hmm. That's the first layer. It makes corruption much harder. I think one of the biggest problems, we don't know how to hold government accountable, you know, because the government are governed by a strict set of rules about how they can award a tender, right? One of the elements is of course, preferential procurement, which relates to BEE and all of that, but also on pricing, right? If they have to show that they picked the best option for that particular project. Now, if you have more and more people tendering who either they manufacture tables or they execute on various things, one of the things that happens quite quickly is that they'll have a lot of people in the tender system and they'll have to pick the best option for government. So one of the things we could do by getting more people to tender, we've got a high unemployment rate, get them registered on businesses, get them tendering on the basic things, supplying basic things, is government will play primarily, in theory, the lowest price for goods. We save the fiscus money. So if we want to use, if us as taxpayers want the best effect for taxpayers, we want more people tendering. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. And secondly, we can cover quite a fair amount of the unemployment problem. Just for context, I'll give you an example. One of the biggest employers in South Africa is ShopRite. I think it employs something like 200,000 people. With the unemployment rate that we'd have to create, and this example I got from somebody else who's quite smart, we'd have to create basically 20 ShopRites, right? Mm-hmm. To solve to some degree the unemployment problem, right? But if you have, which is much simpler to create on a larger scale, if you have a bunch of small businesses playing in the 0 to 2 million mark in terms of turnover by tendering per annum, right? You could create quite the number of small businesses, right? And each small business sustains 2 or 3 people, right? Mm-hmm. So you could create 200,000 small businesses and have the same effect as having a ShopRite, for lack of a better way of putting it.
But Leander, tendering is not cheap. And small businesses can hardly afford the time that it requires and sometimes even the cost that it requires.
Sure. So that's one of the things that definitely need to be fixed in the system. There are a fair amount of, I'm going to say it loosely, tenders that would take the same amount of effort as what's this thing called? Printing CVs, where the cost of the submission is like 150 Rand, right? That's not a small amount of money, but it's not a ridiculously high amount of money. I think the perception we have in the market is that the cost of tendering is actually bribes, you know, the brown envelope, you know, and how we prevent that from happening is we need to stop being aggressive non-participants. And what I mean by aggressive non-participants, we say that from the sideline, get into the system, and hold the system to account. You know, if somebody gets awarded a tender and you've got suspicions, you can ask for a review of the tender allocation. Mm-hmm. That's how the businesses that are not corrupt do it. Get into the tender system. If they tell you that they've rejected your tender, ask for a tender review. You know, if a government department pays you late. When you're quoting, quote them with a quote that says, for every day you're late, rather for every month you're late in my payment, I'm applying a 2% incremental penalty. When you tell that to government in your quoting system, you charge them the 2%, they get a wasteful and fruitless expenditure audit. Mm-hmm. The finance manager is going to be firing people in procurement. So you remove the ability to tender. I think the biggest thing is we need to learn how to make systems accountable. You know,
right? Because when we sit them out, when we sit them out, we let the status quo continue.
100%. 100%. 100%. You know, sorry, you wanted to say something?
No. Continue.
So, you know, like one of the things that I all often joke about is it's so easy to point hands at the leader is at the top, you know, primarily at the People's Fund. What we believe in is a people-led economy. You can't transfer your agency to other people. And you can't do that when you're still paying cold drink to traffic officers, right? Mm. You can't tell me I'm corrupt, right, as a elected official when you haven't renewed your license and you won't take your punishment as it's supposed to be. Accountability starts on the individual. You know, it does not start at the top. And that's the thing we do when we appoint leaders. We abdicate our agency and our responsibility for a functional society. And the People's Fund truly believes in taking back the power at an individual level, as a communal level, and enabling each of one of us to participate in the economy more effectively.
There's some resistance to what you're saying. One person says very difficult to get in without being trapped, as in it's a very corrupt system. The issuers want a slice of the cake, upfront payment percentage of the deal. And I think you've outlined that one already. And then another one, responding to the BEE question after Chet's call, says Sylvester Chauke at the IMC conference, which took place, I think, last week, spoke about pseudo BEE big companies where they score level one, yet the management is not transformed. So there's the view of another person. One says people must make sure they fill in tenders correctly. When I did the admin level of the tender part, we would get, example, 200 tenders for 50 laptops. No way can we go through all of those. So process of elimination, one, over tender limit, and two, missing documents. So
documents.
This is one person's experience saying there are electronic tender app sites, but when we implement SMME's complaints, we're excluding them even if we avail the training room to them. So SMMEs, there is some work to be done in making SMMEs adequately agile and responsive to the demands of the market. And that's one thing that you've also said, that we have SMMEs that are not entirely productive. But we're coming to that. We're going to come to that in a future episode. I don't want to take a big bite for something that we're going to break down into episodes. Great start, Luyanda. Yeah. There's a lot of talking going on. You've kicked us off.
No, definitely. And just a point on that, around the entrepreneur thing, just a small, short point, is that society as human beings, and you can cross across gender, race, whatever, we've got this disease of one-way accountability. The point that that person who tweeted made is on a tender adjudication point is we deal with it ourselves, is that people just don't administer their businesses properly. It's not because you're not supposed to win the tender. It's because you didn't put in a proof of address or the basic things. Get those sorted. Then, you know, like there's a saying that says routine sets you free to be creative, you know. Mm-hmm. Get the routine and admin done properly. Then you'll see how great your business can be.
Right. Great note to end it off on. Till next week.
Till next week.
Thanks, you. Lasagna. That is Luyanda Jafta. That's our series. Small businesses are the answer. We're asking the wrong questions. It's an ask to adjust the system, to change the way the system works, so that we can help small businesses thrive.